Chapter 3, Jesus Intensive Care Unit. As I studied the power and impact of intercessory prayer, I concluded that one needs to be fitted in a special way to conduct a successful prayer ministry. The most important thing we must receive is a mind like that of Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Philippians 2:5. Paul said, when Eutychus fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead, he could say, trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him. Acts 29:10. He had seen his silent prayers answered before his eyes so many times that he knew without a doubt that God had heard the cry of his heart as he ran downstairs to the youth. I can imagine him saying, dear Jesus, thou art Lord of the impossible. Please turn this misfortune around so that thy people will exalt thy great name in a praise session that will continue the rest of their lives as they think back upon this event. Thank you, Lord, for your love and your grace. So I began to pray for the Holy Spirit to impart the mind of Christ to me. But after a while, the Spirit of God led me to understand that I didn't really know what I was asking for, and that God cannot really answer us when we stay on the level of generalities. From that time on, my prayers took on a whole new meaning. No longer did I use vague expressions such as, Lord, please bless this person. Instead, I asked that God would bless a person in a specific way, so that I would then be able to see that he was answering my prayers as the very things I had asked for took place before my eyes. In other words, I was learning to pray meaningful prayers and to understand that we cannot rush through them. Unhurried, meaningful prayer is time-consuming and at first unappealing to the human mind, but I discovered that it produces great results. As I continued praying to receive the mind of Christ, it became clear that a mind like his would mean that I would think as he thinks and feel as he feels about life on our fallen planet, until I in turn began to act as he would if he were in my place. In other words, I would find myself having a lifestyle patterned after his own righteous mind. Well, my reasoning was to a large extent correct. I did not really understand the vastness of the blessings that await us through the character of Christ. I had just touched upon only a very small part of what constitutes the mind of Christ. As I read further, my understanding grew. I concluded that I could not expect to operate successfully in a world of sin with less grace than what Jesus had prayed for and received during his life on earth. Now I added to my daily petitions to God a request for a fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit. I asked that the Spirit of God would enable me to obtain a greater knowledge of my Lord and Savior and the power of his resurrection, something that the Apostle Paul had craved for, Philippians 3:10. And to my great amazement, things began to take place in my life that I had not expected and would never have thought possible. During the mid-1960s, while I worked on the Hudson, Ohio telephone directory, God especially blessed my Christian experience and began to make of me a channel for his influence. A few months previous, I had changed my line of work by going into telephone directory advertising sales. After nearly a month at the training school in Dayton, Ohio, the company assigned me to work on small telephone directories in New York State to gain experience. Soon they put me on larger projects, and before long they appointed me to the Hudson, Ohio Telephone Directory, a geographical area covered by the Mid-Continent telephone system. In addition to business accounts assigned to me in the local Hudson telephone area, I had to contact business firms located in the cities of Akron, Kent, and Ravenna. The work was interesting, but at the same time rather demanding. It challenged one's creativity to make up ads that would meet each firm's needs. If the ads you made did not bring in customers, the next year the owner would cancel them. Each evening we would prepare ads designed to be both appealing and informative. It took six individuals 3 weeks to make up the Hudson directory, while in the case of Buffalo, New York, telephone book, 43 persons spent 6 months covering that market area. Time was at a premium in that one had to handle a certain number of accounts each day in order to close the directory on time. Visiting the business in person could be time-consuming. If advertisers carried ads of many classifications and had acquired different product lines, that required a change of copy to put in the new information and to delete what was no longer needed. One factor that had a lot to do with one's success was finding the business owners in their establishments. If they were out, it meant calling back later, which consumed valuable time and kept you from seeing some of your other customers. All one needed to get into a crisis situation was to have the misfortune of having many of the owners out 2 or 3 days in a row. Besides, when you get pressed for time, tension mounts, and it's hard to operate effectively. Because of the fact that business people face great pressure, if the Yellow Pages representative can't maintain a cheerful, pleasant, and diplomatic attitude, he may lose advertising revenue or the contract altogether. Early in the game, I learned that I needed to pray on the run in order to succeed. I quickly understood that I needed special blessings from God to keep from burning out under pressure. One morning I called on an automobile body repairing and painting shop. As I reviewed the copy in his display ad, the owner stated that he needed a few days to make up his mind, as he was contemplating closing the business, and if he did, he would cancel his ad. I asked why he would do a thing like that when he had what seemed to be a very progressive operation. I might as well tell you about my problem. Would you please close the office door? As I sat down again, he said, I don't know why I am telling you this when I have told no one else. I have a bad situation at home that is getting worse by the day. My wife and I are not getting along anymore, and I have come to the point that I feel like closing the shop. Moving to California with my 16-year-old son and filing for divorce. That's why it's so difficult for me to make a final decision about my advertising. Considering the pressure of my schedule and the training I had received, the right thing for me to have done in such a case would have been to cancel the man's advertising. I would need his signature to cancel, and to explain that I could put it back in if he called the telephone business office before the date that the book went to the printers. That would have saved me the trouble of coming back, which would have enabled me to use my time selling advertising to other business firms. But I didn't do that because I kept hearing those words. Not for himself, but for others, he lived and thought and prayed. I felt strongly that I should have the man unload his burden while I silently prayed for him. Then I asked, "Do you mind telling me how things got so bad?" "It began 3 years ago," he said. "Shortly after we moved into our beautiful new house, my wife began to place silly demands upon me. She complained that I was not giving her enough of my time, and that I loved my business more than her. I agreed that I did spend a lot of time managing the business. To serve the public is time-consuming. And I tried to explain that, in order to acquire all the things she had asked for, I had to work long hours, and there was no getting around that fact. But somehow she could not understand that, and kept nagging and accusing me of being hard-hearted. The time came when she got enraged to the point of throwing dishes on the floor. Have you thought of getting professional counseling on the matter?" "Yes, we went through that route last year. It helped for a while, but her anger kept coming back. I tell you, she is not the same person I have known for so many years. She can be real sweet, and then, for no reason at all, her personality changes and she becomes mean and ugly. One thing I do know for sure is that I cannot continue living like this." I would have liked to have talked to him about God, but I could not, because in training school the instructors had told us in no uncertain words that it was against company policy to talk politics or religion with Yellow Page customers, and that company time is strictly for conducting business. Instead, I suggested that I would return in 2 weeks to give him a chance to decide about his Yellow Pages ad. He felt good about that, and as I left his place of business, I mentioned that I would remember him and his wife in my prayers. The man thanked me for my interest in his problem. As I was driving to my next call, thinking about his difficulties, I felt a deep concern for the couple's well-being. Something I had never experienced before towards complete strangers. Now I realize that the way I felt was undoubtedly a result of Christ imparting his compassionate love to me by the Holy Spirit in answer to prayer. A sudden desire to stop and pray for them possessed me. As I passed a supermarket, turning into the parking area, I drove to the back, where I turned the motor off. As I did, I said to myself, "I only wish that our Lord had a special intensive care unit for those devastated by the ravages of sin and oppressed by Satan." My wife Hilda, a nurse, was at the time working in the intensive care unit of a large hospital. A couple days previously, we had talked about her work, and I had been fascinated by the care and dedication the nurses exercised towards their patients. I longed for similar spiritual help for those facing crises. Taking my Bible out of my briefcase, I opened it at the 27th chapter of Matthew and read some about the crucifixion. Then I pleaded in prayer the mercies of the blood that Christ shed on Calvary, as the reason that the man I had just talked to and his wife should receive divine help. God was leading me into a prayer ministry that would bless the lives of a great many persons, bringing them the peace of his love in a cruel world. The time I had taken to have the businessman tell me about his problems, God helped me to make up that afternoon. On every call, I found owners at their business in good mood and interested in having a larger and better Yellow Pages program. At the end of the day, I totaled my increase and found it to be the best day in net revenue I had ever had. It greatly pleased my supervisor, who asked me to pass on the secret of my success to the other advertising representatives. I did by saying that the great monarch of the galaxies had crowned my efforts with his divine blessing. To secure divine help for the body shop man and his wife, I lived the next 2 weeks a bit differently. Each night I set the alarm clock 15 minutes earlier than usual, because I wanted to begin each new day with prayers for the couple. After reconsecrating and rededicating my life to God, I would intercede with him in their behalf. With the Bible open at the crucifixion chapter, Matthew 27, I pleaded the merits of Christ's blood as the reason that they should receive special help in their daily lives. My first intercession went something like this. Precious Heavenly Father, I wish to thank Thee first for having allowed Christ to come and live among us, and then purchase our redemption at such a great cost. In addition, I desire to express my appreciation in that You have honored me so greatly before the inhabitants of the galaxies and the angels of heaven by having made me a member of Jesus' resistant forces in a sin-occupied world. I also rejoice over the fact that You have revealed to us the many functions the Holy Spirit can perform to work out human salvation and close Thy mission on earth with power and great glory. Gracious Father, because the pen of inspiration has referred to Thee as the Father of infinite pity, I do not hesitate to bring to Your attention the lives of Mr. and Mrs. A. I realize that they have been under constant attack of Satan and have struggled with depressing thoughts and experiences. Yes, their lives are in a sad state of affairs, and I refuse to sit back and do nothing while God's enemies increase their efforts to defeat Christ's work in man's behalf and to fasten souls in their snares. I plead, O Lord, the merits of the blood of the Lord of glory shed on Calvary for the remission of sins, for the salvation of this couple. You know, Father, that I do not hesitate to ask for the divine power of the third person of the Godhead to rebuke Lucifer and his spirit associates from controlling human lives. When I was a spiritist, the persevering supplications of Cyril and Cynthia Gross in my behalf opened the way for Thy Holy Spirit to shelter me from demonic activities for a whole week, making it possible for me to receive Bible studies and accept Christ as my Lord and Savior. So, Father, may Thy Holy Spirit overshadow Mr. and Mrs. A. this day, surrounding them with a spiritual atmosphere of light and peace, allowing them to make intelligent decisions in this present life and for eternity. I know, Lord, that You will not force anyone into a particular course of action, but You are able to help people in making right decisions. Nor do I hesitate to ask for mighty miracles of divine grace to take place in their lives, since Christ has already paid the price for any and all blessings that heaven can bestow. As for myself as an intercessor, in opening the way for the third person of the Godhead to move in mighty ways for them, I would appreciate seeing my prayers answered before my eyes when I return to see this man in 2 weeks. And may an overflow of the Spirit's blessings shower upon me, so that I will be able to say like Job of old, "When the ear heard me, then it blessed me, and when the eye saw me, it gave witness to me, because I delivered the poor that cried, and the fatherless, and him that had none to help him. The blessing of him that was ready to perish came upon me." Job 29:11-13. And Father, may this experience bring me closer to my Savior, that I may know him better, and the power of his resurrection. Philippians 3:10. Lord God, As this intercession comes to a close, let it not be the end, but the beginning of a precious walk with Thee. Again I thank Thee for Thy love and Thy grace so preciously dispensed in the lives of those I pray for. This petition I present in the name of our merciful and faithful High Priest, Christ Jesus, who has acquired the legal right in the sight of the inhabitants of the galaxies and the angels of heaven to appropriate to the fallen descendants of Adam his great righteousness and complete salvation. Candlelight Dinner. 2 weeks passed, and with mixed feelings I entered Mr. A's place of business. While I expected to hear of blessings received, it was also possible that the couple could have resisted the leading of the Spirit of God in exercising their God-given rights of freedom of choice and have made wrong decisions. But it wasn't long before I realized that things were looking up in their lives. Stepping into the doorway of the bookkeeper's office, I asked if Mr. A was going to be tied up very long with the man in his office. The bookkeeper stated that I would be able to see him in a few minutes, then invited me to sit down. He added that his boss had just finalized plans to have the shop enlarged. Furthermore, the businessman had been expecting me to stop by that morning. Instantly, I lifted up my heart to God in a silent melody of praise as I began to see that the power of his love had been benefiting those I had prayed for. Mr. A. greeted me with a firm handshake and a peaceful expression reflecting God's love. "I have a lot of good news to tell you. Things that are almost unbelievable have taken place since you were here. My wife and I are on good terms again, and life has taken on a new meaning." As he continued, I could tell that the Spirit of God had been working in their lives. He told me how for 3 days after I had stopped by his office, his wife began acting differently. When he went home for lunch and the evening meal, he found to his surprise the TV turned off and their favorite classical music playing in the background. She was pleasant, but seemed lost in her own thoughts. A couple days later, she called him at the office and asked if he could work things out so that he wouldn't have to return to the shop after dinner. The man said that he could, but would probably get home a bit later than usual. At home, she treated him to a candlelight dinner. Then she explained that she had been giving serious thought to the tensions that had threatened their marriage. She now believed herself capable of taking control of her life, and stated that she had matured in a few short days from a confused mess to a calm, reasonable person. Furthermore, she added that life was too short to waste feeling sorry for oneself, when in reality she had so much to be thankful for. As he described to me what he called his good fortune, my heart thrilled with joy born of heaven, and silently I thanked and praised the Holy Trinity for making me a channel for God's love and healing. He then stated how he himself had experienced a few days of self-examination. Both of them had decided to venture on what one could call a new beginning. This may be hard for you to believe, but I'm telling you without exaggeration that the whole atmosphere of our home has changed, he concluded. I don't know how to explain it. It's so peaceful, so enjoyable. Coming home is a pleasant experience again. Now he was making new plans for the business. He figured that if he were to enlarge the building some and get 2 additional auto body repairmen, the added revenue would enable him to hire a qualified person to make repair estimates and to manage the place. Then he would be able to take some time off every so often and spend it with his wife. How do you explain something so fantastic taking place in so short a time?" he suddenly asked. Silently I prayed, "Heavenly Father, please bless my mind with the right thing to say." Aloud I said, "Mr. A., if you recall, as I left here 2 weeks ago, I mentioned that I would remember you and your wife in my prayers. Well, what you have experienced is the result of answered prayers." Shaking his head, he replied, "I believe you and appreciate greatly you having prayed for us, but I have never seen prayers answered with such power. The missus and I are church-going people, but I must admit that I have never seen prayers answered this way, prayers that actually change lives." To my surprise, his expression and voice suddenly slipped into a note of desperation. "Please, please promise me that you will continue praying for us, please." Never in my life had I felt so needed by someone, and at the same time so glad that I was seeing my prayers answered. "Mr. A., I promise to pray for you and your wife. In fact, I will place your names on my perpetual prayer list. I will see to it that daily intercessions will ascend to God in your behalf." With the pressure of my schedule in mind, I quickly revised his ad and then left for my next call. I did not work that telephone directory the following year, as I had graduated to major markets, but I met at a regional meeting the fellow who handled the account and received some good news. "Roger, Mr. A. sends you his regards. He wanted me to tell you about the success of his business, and above all, that everything is well with the family. In fact, he said that things have never been better at home. He didn't tell me what you men talked about, but somehow you have made a profound impression upon that man." It was indeed good news to hear that the Spirit of God was giving intensive care to the couple on a daily basis.